What was it like for you when you heard today's gospel? What were you thinking? What were you experiencing? Did you become one of the characters? Did you put yourself in the story? What was it like to experience the gospel being proclaimed today? Well, I want to try an activity to try and help you grasp the gravity of today's gospel. What I want you to do is I'm going to read it again and put yourself in the story. Become one of the characters. Become either one of the people that are in the crowd, maybe one of the Roman soldiers, maybe John the Baptist, maybe Jesus. Put yourself in the story. What is it like for you? The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. So who did you take on? What character were you in today's gospel? Were you a bystander? If you're one of the bystanders just hanging out, you probably have the same energy and excitement that the people did. They're expecting something. They're waiting. John has been came out of the desert preaching this message of repentance, and this whole crowd has come around him. Here at the Jordan River, this long river, the major river of Jerusalem that's heading south, and here in this deserted place that's kind of dry and dusty, the few sparse trees, this entire crowd has gathered to be baptized. Now, baptism isn't really a surprising thing. It actually is a Jewish tradition in some ways, to cleanse yourself and be ready for the Passover, or to wash yourself clean and be ready for the next day. That is a very common practice. So what John's doing is not really a surprise, except that his is one of repentance, not of one of cleansing. It's a little bit different. So the people are kind of wrestling with what he means. Are you wrestling with what John is saying? He's saying, be baptized, all of you, for repentance. Here he is proclaiming this message, and we're wondering, could he be the Christ? Here is this bold figure, much like Elijah or the prophets. What is he doing? And so, kind of caught up in the moment and excited about what could be coming, choosing to be baptized, being plunged into the waters and brought out, and kind of experiences this coolness, this newness as the water pours over. And as we're all there, the baptism is over, we're praying, an amazing event happens. Something surprising, something we wouldn't expect. The heavens torn open in this massive display, and all of a sudden a figure like a dove comes down and descends upon one man, Jesus, who John has been calling out, but no one really paid attention to. And all of a sudden this massive voice comes from the sky. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What do I think of this? How do I make sense of this? What is this like? What is going on? These are the questions we're pondering if we're one of the bystanders who've been there experiencing the baptism, experiencing John preach. Well, let's say we're John the Baptist. You know, kind of a weird man that has long hair and a lot of hair, wearing camel's clothing and a random belt, been in the desert for a while, eating locusts and wild honey, and all of a sudden appears out of nowhere, proclaiming this strange message of repent. But remember, John knows who Jesus is. He met him way back when he was even in the womb and recognized who Jesus is. So they're cousins. They've known each other. They grew up together. John knows what's going on. Here John comes out and he sees Jesus and says, look, there, behold the Lamb of God. And everyone's going, okay, cool. He sends his disciples over to ask Jesus what's going on. They don't quite get it. And then Jesus comes up to John and asks to be baptized. John, confused by it, does it. And as he finishes the baptism, he sees the great sign to which he's been looking for all this time. The sign that all the prophets spoke of, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. The Son of Man would come. The Messiah would come back and lead his people. As we heard today in our first reading, the prophecy, kind of not what we anticipate. When the Messiah comes, he wouldn't be crying out. He wouldn't be making his voice heard. He doesn't make this bold proclamation, which is exactly what Jesus did. He just kind of wanders into the crowd. Even the smallest things A bruised reed, a smoldering wick, would not be quenched. Everything would just be at peace. So as John sees all this happen and recognizes who the Messiah is and all the prophecy leading up, there's wonderment. What is this going to be like? What is this new age going to be? How is he going to usher in the reign of justice and peace, that the kingdom would be restored, that everything would be brought to God once more? What would that be like? We don't really know. But John too sees the signs in the sky, the heavens being torn open, the voice come down, the ratification he's been waiting for. Yes, I have no reason to doubt any longer. This is the Messiah, the Christ. Anyone try to be Jesus? It makes us uncomfortable trying to put our place in the position of Jesus, isn't it? It's like, ugh. Well, many years ago, I was helping out with the Vacation Bible School, and I decided to do an activity for the kids. We're going to reenact the calming of the storm. So I put these little chairs into a little circle, and it was the boat. And I had all the kids get in, and I asked for one person to be Jesus. And all of them were like, nope, not going to do it. And the girls, which really surprised me, said, we can't be Jesus. A boy has to be Jesus. And I'm like, this is odd, but whatever, I'll just go with it. So they finally picked someone reluctantly to be Jesus. And they got in the boat, and I started throwing the balloons in to act like water until Jesus told me to stop. But why I bring that up is we really do struggle to put ourselves in the place of Jesus. So let's try and do it for a moment. We're going to be like Jesus. So here we are, Jesus. Just walks into the crowd as though nothing abnormal is happening. Not making himself known, not making a pronouncement, just walks into the midst of this event that's happening of all these people being baptized. Most likely aware of who he is. Let's be honest, Jesus knows who he is. He goes up to John and asks to be baptized, and John agrees. And so he goes down to the waters of the Jordan, just like everyone else. Comes up, water pouring over him, nothing spectacular, and then starts to pray. As he is praying, the heavens open, and the voice of his Father comes, and the Spirit of the Father and the Son come down and rest upon him. He hears his Father's voice. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And knows that the mission has begun. His ministry has begun. There's nothing more he needs. His life is radically going to change from this point forward. He hears that voice. It's hard for us to kind of grasp Jesus. It's very difficult. But reality is, we need to be like Jesus. And why is that? Because the voice that the Father said to Jesus is not just to Jesus. It's to each and every one of us. Because we are the ones who are baptized. We are baptized into Christ. We become like him. And when we are brought out of the waters of baptism, we are made in the image and likeness of God. We take on the character of his Son, so that in a weird and profound way, when God looks at us, he sees his Son. So that when he speaks these words, you are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased, they are words to us as well. So now that we put ourselves in the place of Jesus, we have to do something with this. Our baptism, for most of us, happened when we were rather young, when we were infants, and so we don't quite remember it. Not the way we feel like we should. Like a lot of our Christian brothers and sisters who are baptized as adults or baptized much later on can kind of recall the day, remember what it's like to have the water pour the community around them. We don't have the same thing, but we don't have to. Baptism for us was an avenue, a gateway, the beginning of our life of faith, in which we are brought into the mystery of God. We become his son, his daughter. We become the children of God, and we start a new life. That new life doesn't just begin and then kind of like taper off over time. We have to keep striving to make it anew. Keep listening to these words. Keep bringing ourselves closer and closer to realize who Jesus is and who we are called to become. And that is the challenge of today. We are called to be Christ to the world. And if we want to follow his example, the first place where he starts is Jesus always went up a mountain to pray. Prayer was a very important part of his life, listening to the voice of the Father, constantly developing and ratifying that relationship that he has. That is the central key of what Jesus did. He's constantly at prayer. He's constantly in that relationship. So we need to as well. We need to be people of prayer, listening to God speak to us, speaking in return, engaging in that relationship. The second thing is that Jesus knows who he is. He knows that he is the beloved of God. We need to realize that too in ourselves, that we are the daughters and sons of God. We are his beloved. We are the ones he is pleased with. Regardless of what we think of ourselves, that is not the point. God thinks of us that way. And to live in that reality that God loves us and thinks of us as his beloved reforms the way we think of ourselves, changes who we are, so that we can be more bold in saying, ah, yes, I am a Christian. Ah, yes, I am the son of God. I am the daughter of God. And going forth in that freedom to recognize that our mission, our call from baptism is to go out and spread this to the whole world, to let people know the relationship we have, the beauty of what we celebrate. That is the goal. So that as we continue to develop this relationship and recognize our call as Christian people, what came out of our baptism, what came out of being the people of God, then we start to really want to share. We become who we were meant to be. So that ultimately we can hear this voice speak in our mind, know of it through who we are. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. In you I am well pleased.